Thor had come back to help them. He said some of the people in the tribes had seen the flashes of the battle, and when they heard the last cyclos were mopped up, they had named the day the Tyler Battle Day. Thor had flown a hunting party down to the savannah, and they had come back with game, and there had been a lot of feasting and dancing.
It is sometimes very gratifying, Johnny, to be taken for you, but I had to disappear during the battle. You can't be in two places at once.
Thor had spotted the convoy exit from the forest and had discreetly stood by at 200,000 feet to assist if needed. He had full picto-recorder discs of the whole battle and was surprised that nobody wanted to see them. Tired, glad to be out of the rain, they sat around in the huge chairs of the Cyclo Recreation Hall. Johnny was looking through the pilot traffic that still spewed out on the printer. Nothing unusual. He threw it down.
"We better get to work,"
said Johnny. They had been working. What did you call what they'd been doing if not working? Robert the Fox shook his head. Angus looked at his hands, bruised by wielding heavy torches and twisting open oversized locks. Dunaldine just stared and thought of the flight hours ferrying dead cyclos to the snow. Colonel Ivan whispered back of a bandaged hand to the coordinator, who then told him what Johnny had said, and he looked back, frowning. Hadn't his people been killing every cyclo in sight, and driving trucks, and cleaning a mine site, and doing everything else?
"Well, I hate to have to tell you that we aren't here to do all that."
"All right, but then what?"
"We're here to find out why the Chamco brothers committed suicide."
The devil with the Chamcos. They were just cyclos, and they'd tried to kill Johnny. So, Johnny made a speech. He paused now and then to let the coordinator catch up for the Russians present. He told them that they did not know whether or not Cyclo was still there as a functioning planet. He told them about the galactic banknote and all the races listed on it, and he remembered he had one and passed it around. They realized what he was saying. Earth was wide open to counterattack. If the Cyclo planet were still there, it would eventually counterattack with new gas drones. And these other races possibly had means of reaching Earth swiftly. And when they found there were no Cyclo defenses here, they could slaughter the place if they had a mind to. The only way to find out was to rebuild the teleportation shipment rig and get it cracking. But the Cyclos put on the project had attacked him when he questioned them on that subject. They got it. They also got the fact that no other group or organization was working to handle these problems or the defenses of the planet.
"Which elects us?"
They agreed.
"So, Angus, I want you to set up that machine they said you used on me to find that steel splinter. And we're going to set it up and start looking in cyclo heads. If we find something, and if one of those cyclos that are still alive can be operated on, we will have somebody we can make rebuild the teleportation rig, and we're in. We can cast picto recorders out and look at cyclo, and we can look at these other civilizations, and then we'll know where we are. Right now, we're listing in the cloud layers with no direction but down. Without knowing, I think we're dead men."
"We have all their mathematics and text on teleportation,"
said Angus.
"I've seen them, man. I've even held them in my hands."
"But you haven't made any sense out of them. I tried for weeks to unravel them. I'm no mathematician, but there's something wrong with those mathematics. They just don't work out. So we need a cyclo who won't commit suicide if we ask him."
"Tell me, Johnny,"
said Dr. McKendrick.
"I see no evidence of anything in their heads. You can't x-ray or whatever you call it, thoughts?"